If you tell her now, it will all blow up.
But at least she'll know who she is.
Every move you make, every vow you break.
I need names. People working in the CIA.
Every smile you fake, every claim you stick.
I've got him.
Wait.
Hello.
I should grab her. Set up a roadblock. Pull a rope. All right, this is the West Coast Project podcast for the Americans. My name is Mike.
I'm Jamie.
And
I am the male robot.
All right. He's a regular now, Jamie, almost.
That's right.
Okay, first of all, we need to apologize. We had some technical difficulties and we had trouble rescheduling everybody together, but we're back to do the final episode of season 3, 313, March 8th, 1983, for the Americans. Jamie, I had some listeners ask me about the male robot. And I need to tell everybody the male robot is a real connection that we have. We're not just running our voices through something. We have a Skype connection with the FBI male robot from Twitter, actually on a three-way call with us.
That's right.
Indeed.
Yep. So thanks for coming back together. And I'm going to have trouble remembering some of this episode. I've watched it. Was it a month ago?
All right, Mike.
All right, maybe a week and a half. Jamie, you have awesome internet now, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. I no longer live in a forest.
Cool. All right, I was worried about Martha in this episode, but we didn't even see her in this episode. And Jamie, you were right. I got to give you props.
Yes, that's right. I win. You can never tell me she's going to die again.
Oh, she's going to die. All right. She's just not going to die this year. All right.
She will never die.
Well, robot, she's mortal. Can't say she'll never die.
Not let her.
You won't let her die. All right. Well, this thing, Jamie, was 111 minutes long, and I missed the final few minutes because my DVR didn't record it right in the middle of the phone call that Paige was making at the end of the frickin' episode.
That's awful.
So I had to wait till it cycled in and get the next rebroadcast of it so I could see what she said in that phone call.
Well, that had to be really suspenseful.
It was. It was horrible. But this episode offered no firm resolution, just more mystery. I don't know if I really am going to embrace this episode too fondly.
Okay, so I have to tell you that I really liked it. But I was like you. I felt like there wasn't a lot of resolution, and I felt like there were more cliffhangers than anything. And one real low point for me is that we didn't see Martha. Like, that really disappointed me, because I really want to see what was happening in her head, what she was thinking. And then the way that Philip addressed it just felt like a kind of a throwaway explanation. So I didn't like it. I didn't buy it.
Maybe Martha was over at that robot's house.
Robot?
I wish.
All right, well, let's go through it. We start out at the airport. They're saying goodbye. Henry and Philip are saying goodbye to Paige and Elizabeth. They're going to West Germany, Jamie, not Kenya.
That's right.
And Philip kind of whispers an apology for never having met his mother-in-law. And Elizabeth says, it's okay, you wouldn't have liked her.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, that's just another one of those writing things. That's something a spouse would actually say. And I loved it.
This is a long plane ride. Hey, robot, have you ever been on an airplane?
Do you think that security would let me through a metal detector, even in the 1980s?
Well, good point. They could have given you the manual frisk.
I've done that flight before. That is a long flight.
All right, so the credits roll. That's the end of the first sequence. We come back, and Philip and Yusuf are talking, Jamie. The Stingers deal got canceled, that plot to derail the Afghan Mujahideen dude. Looks like it worked.
Well, I would imagine so. You don't want to sell missiles to a guy who would cut the throats of his own friends.
And we get the philosophical question, just was it all worth it? Yusuf asked Philip, you know, kind of the theme of this whole show, this whole idea is all this worth it?
That's right. And, you know, and it's interesting. I thought it was really poetic, that sort of a twist coming from a character for whom that is the question mark standing over that entire character. Because what he did, every time I think about what he did, killing Annalise the way that he did, was it worth it? It was such a pointless exercise. You know, and the only purpose that it really served was to, you know, put him in a beholden state to Philip for the purposes of the story. But as far as, you know, if this were real life, what he did was a pointless murder. And so for him to ask that question, I thought was really poignant.
Well, plus all the melding of families into work and governmental politics and international conflict and all that stuff. It is a really great question.
It is.
Robot, do you ever have any of these philosophical thoughts about whether things are worth it, or do you just do your job?
I do. Hindsight is 20/20.
Well, can't argue with that.
No.
All right, so we see the Residentura. They have a new rule, Jamie. No assassinations without a hall pass first. Got to get prior notice.
I loved that. It was so funny. And watching Oleg sit there and go, oh, I think that's about me, was kind of cute.
Yep, that was due to Zenaida being scared because of Oleg beating up Stan, that little act they put on.
Yep.
Robot, do you have any rules like that?
If you are going to be a double agent, you must make sure that everyone likes you. Do not tell anyone that you are a double agent.
That's pretty wise. Good wisdom.
It's a good rule.
All right, we'll jump over to Stan and Sandra. They're splitting up their property. Sandra, they get arguing over some plants and stuff, but why would she want those plants, Jamie? Did that seem realistic?
Yeah, it did. It did. Usually the person, and I mean, you could tell by the conversation that she was the person who took care of the plants, like when Stan was around, because Stan was never there. He was always out, you know, being super duper FBI guy, or else, you know, spending his time with Nina. So she was taking care of the plants, and she, you know, she wanted them. But it turns out that Stan has grown a little bit, so he's been caring for the plants himself.
He actually bought some stuff for the plants.
Plant food.
The one thing she doesn't want is the wedding album, though, and that's the one thing that kind of breaks Stan's heart. Like, she should want that, right?
Well, I mean, okay, so she's given up. You know, we had, I think it was maybe episode 301. I think it was the first episode of the season. Or maybe 302. You and I talked about that because that was the episode where Oleg and Stan had that confrontation in the alley, and then Stan went to Sandra afterward and, you know, and basically, you know, threw himself at her feet, you know, and he really wanted some comfort from her, and she wasn't comforting to him. And she told him, you know, that she was glad he was alive, but that was all she had for him. That's all she could give him. And, you know, the reason is because she put all her work in. She's done everything. She left nothing in reserve. She gave everything to that relationship, and he's the one who wasn't there. And so now, you know, why should she want the wedding album?
Yeah, she even makes a comment later on in this episode to Philip that she doesn't want to leave any false hopes for Stan.
Yeah, I mean, it's really over.
Robot, have you ever gone through a breakup and had to split stuff up?
Robots have photographic memories, so we do need individual copies.
That's the efficient way to do it.
It is efficient.
Scan everything you have and just there you go.
Yeah, humans don't have that luxury.
We go to Berlin. Paige and Elizabeth are in West Berlin now, and they're doing the counter pursuit tactics, which is very curious for Paige. She's I think she's really bold, but she's very naive. She asks if people follow Elizabeth all the time. It wasn't really a very scary looking scene, but it was pretty revealing that Paige really doesn't have any idea what Elizabeth and Philip really do.
Yeah, well, and she shouldn't. You know, she's a 14-year-old kid in a pre-internet age, so she can't really look things up and, you know, get information on the spot and be sort of like, okay, I get the picture. All she knows is, you know, what she's picked up sort of, you know, from the atmosphere of the world she lives in about, you know, what a spy is and, you know, whether or not there's real danger and that kind of thing. So it made sense.
You know, I wouldn't know what a spy does. I mean, you'd see it on TV and movies here, but I wouldn't know what counter surveillance measures are. I wouldn't know what they do.
Exactly. Yeah, so it was logical.
Paige has had a pretty easy life, pretty protected life so far.
Yeah, she has. Lucky Paige.
All right, Philip and Gabriel... they talk, and this trip apparently was arranged by Philip without any pre-consent from Gabriel. He did it all on his own accord. And he gets a lecture, Jamie, from Gabriel about all this.
Yeah, and the whole time I was just, like, mentally sticking my middle finger at him. I just, that dude, I get it, okay? He's really, it's kind of complex, like, because in the last episode, we saw him, you know, talking to Claudia and saying, basically, he really gets it. Like, he gets where Philip is coming from. He even thinks he's right. And so we know that he really is not fully against Philip the way that he projects it to Philip. But I'm just so done with him as a character. I didn't care what he had to say.
He's kind of right, but he has the luxury of not being in this intimate relationships, family kind of ties within this family that Philip and Elizabeth have to worry about.
Right. Yeah. You know, it was interesting though. There's a nuance that's been added to his profile, sort of, you know, because in the last episode when he was talking to Claudia, you saw that he, you know, he's not this in-the-know fellow who's, you know, got his finger on the pulse of everything. He's a cog in a wheel too, you know, and, you know, he asked Claudia, you know, I mean, why do they not want to still scrap this program? And Claudia said, because they think you can do it, you know. And so, you know, now he's got this pressure on him. And maybe that's what he's reflecting to Philip when he says, you know, basically stop being a crybaby about this. You know, maybe he's feeling the pressure too.
Yeah, he says if you can't even see 10 feet in front of you, you need to grow up. If things don't go your way with Elizabeth, you complain right away. He kind of talks down to him like almost like he's a child.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's his position. He's been that fatherly figure to both of them the whole season.
Yeah, the mentor.
Yeah.
He's probably been through it himself, right? He probably had something happen to him just like this when he was 40 and he had to go through it with his mentor.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you can see that, and that's the great, great acting that this guy does. You can see the wisdom in his face, you know. Tell me his name again. What is his name?
Frank Langella.
Yeah, Frank Langella. He you know, when Matthew Reese, who plays Philip, was on the Insider podcast. He talked about Frank Langella and what his strengths are as an actor. And he said, you know, that they're kind of known for like joking around a lot on the set and, you know, telling these really off-color jokes. And then immediately, as soon as they yell action, you know, he's right there in the scene, and they can all just, like, go right into the scene immediately. And Matthew Reese said that it's because Frank Langella has such incredible focus as an actor that he pulls you in. He doesn't allow you to pull your focus away and then break up in laughter or something like that while you're in the midst of filming. And so I thought that was really interesting, and I think that the focus that Matthew Reese was talking about is something that is really reflected in the screen. Like, we see that in this character, in what Frank Langella actually brings to the character. And you could see that in his face when he was chastising Philip. You know, there were just so many layers of emotion and you know, history and relationship wrapped up in that scene. It was really, really, it was a good scene.
Yeah, and Lindell is perfectly cast as this role in Gabriel. He's got the stolid, sober, somber European, you know, staid look about him that just really he portrays this guy, Gabriel, really well.
Yeah, I agree with
Frank
you.
Frank Langella starred in a great movie with a robot called Robot and Frank. I was actually up for the robot part, but did not get it.
Oh, awesome. That's good. I knew he was in Dracula, but I didn't know too much else about Langella, so he's in a robot movie. Pretty cool.
Interesting.
From 2012.
Huh.
Awesome. Robots tapped into IMDb. Mainlines that stuff. All right, Oleg and Stan are meeting now, Jamie. Stan's setting up Oleg, and we get to see this little plot. He's getting him to talk. And Oleg talks about Siberia being awful, and some people get exiled there, and then they stay there until they die, and just how horrible it sounds in Siberia.
Yeah, almost like when you get, because what he said was, after people do a 20-year sentence, oftentimes they just stay there in the, you know, villages there, and just never return. They stay there until they die. And I thought it was such an indicator of a person who's kind of given up. That's what somebody who's settled into their exile and, you know, basically accepted that they don't have a life anymore. That's what those people would do, you know.
Siberia just seems so bleak and cold in my mind's eye. I've never been there, but I've made the comment before about the jail cells, like you can't feel the cold through the TV screen, but that would be the one thing that really gets to me.
Right.
It just seems so awful.
Yeah, it does.
Robot, does cold weather bother you?
Robots like cold weather because it allows us to run more efficiently. I wish I could retire to Siberia.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, it'd probably be easy to get real estate there.
It is like Florida to us.
That's right. Awesome. All right, well, let's go to Baklanov and Nina. Anton Baklanov gets his ideas everywhere, Jamie. Just walking down the hallway, he stops and scribbles a drawing or a note. He's inspired, I think, by these photos now. And Nina catches up to him and interacts with him. She's playing him, though, too, I think, right? Is she for real saying that she's concerned with him, or is she playing up to him?
You know what? I don't know, Mike, because she's so good. I mean, it's hard to tell with Nina. She's a tough one. And, you know, when I really wanted to believe her when she said that she was tired of buying back her life, you know, because she seemed very sincere. And that's probably true. I mean, and I think anybody would be tired of buying back their life. But that doesn't say anything about what her actual aims are. You know, is she going to sell this guy out, you know, so that she can finally have her life back for real? Or is she sick of dealing with the system and, you know, going to throw herself on her sword, you know, in order to stand up for something? I don't know.
Yeah, her real feelings really lend into her act, if in fact she is acting. I think that really makes her seem sincere. Do you think she cares about him at all?
She's just trying
to get out of the grasp of the whoever, KGB.
No, I think she cares about him. I do. I think it would be difficult for anybody not to care for him because, you know, his life is tragic.
How long has he been there now? He just looks exhausted and weary.
Well, he's been there since season two. So I guess it's probably a year in the time that of the series.
Yeah, a year or so.
I have to say, though, about that scene and about the scenes that we've seen Anton Baklanov in, and I'm looking him up actually right now because I want to get his name in there, the guy who plays him. Do you know his name? Oh, let's see.
Robots tapped into the IMDb. Let's not put him on the spot, though.
Yeah, no, I looked it up. It's Michael Aronoff, and I hope I...
Hey, Michael Aronoff.
Yeah, I hope I'm pronouncing
his name. Aronoff, yeah.
Yeah. He is a great actor, and I love what he's done with this role, and I love the way that they've written Anton. I think he brings a lot to it. He's a character that I would want to see more of, you know? And when he, in that scene, when he came close to Nina and was explaining to her about, you know, denying the things that the body cries out for, and that's how you learn and train yourself to refuse the things that they give you, so that you're not just basically their slave. It was so well put, you know, and the expressions on his face and the way he moved his body and just all of it was so really beautiful. I really want to see more of him in the coming season. So I hope that we see more of this character.
So I said I thought he looked tired, and we're recording on another Friday, Jamie and Robot. And Robot, I know you go down for maintenance every Friday afternoon. Do you sleep every night, or is this just like your Friday regular maintenance, just once a week?
I may not need sleep, but I do need to recharge.
There you go.
Okay. Well, Anton says, they own my body but not my brain. And this becomes a little bit of a theme in this episode, too.
You're right.
Nina commiserates with him that she, too, has to buy back her life continually by having these little capers she has to do to buy time out of prison or buy time out of captivity or pretend she's on a certain side. It's a pretty telling how people trade their parts of their lives for their freedom again.
Yeah, and you know, and that I think that's true really for any human being who's part of any social system, but it's especially true
Robots.
If you live... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robot.
It is true for humans and robots.
Ah, I see.
Okay. I thought the robot had a little Tourette's there. Just like gave us a Hodor. Robots. All right.
So, I was
hotter,
gonna say,
hotter, hotter.
Hotter, hotter. That'd be awesome if Game of Thrones had a robot. Like a cheap ass tin one that rolled around on him.
Hell you know, yes. Like
a steampunk robot. For Game of Thrones. So I was going to say that that I think that's true under, you know, any person who lives within a social system. But if you live under an oppressive regime, then, yeah, I mean, you trade big pieces of your soul and pieces of your life in order to just survive.
Well, the Jennings, too, trading their lives away for their country, pretty much.
Yeah, there was a really, really cool... sort of a double meaning in a scene that's ahead. It's the scene where Philip is in the computer specialist guy's apartment. And so we can talk about it when we get there. I was really moved by that scene.
All right. Well, let's come back from that. We have a commercial break. We come back and Stan talks to Gad. Now, Gad being his little bitch here, talks about Nina and Oleg and Gad is just...
God is a little bitch.
You said it, man. You talked to him without me knowing?
Yeah.
And he asked Stan if he planted the bug. Stan's like, man, I got Oleg for treason. Maybe we can turn him. Let's stop bitching and complaining. Let's get to work on this guy. And, you know, he wants to help Nina. But, you know, it's a little bit of an interesting portrayal of Stan and Nina because... Before, he let her go away, Jamie, and did his job correctly, and now he wants to help her. Is this out of his guilt for letting her go?
Well, no. I mean, you know, at the time that he let her go, he was against a wall with that because it was either to betray his country or to help Nina. Now in this situation, it is not that. He's helping his country and he's helping Nina. So it's an idealism thing. It's a moral thing. It's an ethical thing. Stan is not going to go down a road that causes him to be treasonous the way that Oleg is.
Yeah, I just remember him risking his job now. Like, I don't care. I want to help Nina, whatever it takes. And in the first instance, he didn't seem to want to risk his job.
Well, I don't think it was about risking his job. I think it was about betraying his country.
Probably.
I think that's where Stan draws the line. He's not going to betray his country.
So Gads, after Stan says all this, Gads says more bitchily, don't give me a speech.
Yeah. You know, I was lost in this one. I think it was truly written. I think that the way that the writers wrote it was really true to where this character would be, you know, mentally right now, you know, his headspace, because he's under the gun. He's made a huge gaffe, and I'm sure he's under a lot of pressure and, you know, trying to defend his position, defend his department, the way he's running it, and all of that. So I get the, you know, the stress level, but I had to think about it. And at the time that it happened, I was like, what the heck? Why aren't you on his side? You should be like, dude, and, you know, getting the high five and, you know, let's take this to the, you know, but he felt really betrayed.
He was slighted. Yeah. He's just being petty.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe that he asked Stan if Stan planted the bug. That was crazy.
I wonder if there's any are there any robot double agents?
Huh. Well, FBI robot's a double agent. He's being forced to be one.
At least he does not have a tape recorder plugged into his brain.
Right.
Like me.
See that?
Well, so you've got, like, it's like a police camera almost. You've got to be on the up and up because everything's being recorded.
Yep.
But someone should kick Gad. Anyway.
you're within reach almost there, robot. Give him a, I don't know what you'd give him. Give him a bump.
Shock. Give him a shock.
It is too far from my track.
Too far from his track. Well, hey, robot, is there an est for robots? Jamie Phillips at S class again. I don't know why. I don't even know why he's there. Why do you think he's there?
Well, you know, I really think that Philip is really, really lost. I think that if we got something that's really super clearly illustrated in this episode, it is that Philip has come to that point. You know, we talked about this early on in the season, and I told you that Philip was long overdue for some issues that result from him having to compromise his real true beliefs and what he really thinks is right so often and in such extreme ways. And this is what we're seeing. Philip is breaking down. And I think he went to Est because he's looking for answers. Where is he going to go? He's not going to go to church. He doesn't believe in God. He can't really go to anyone else. He could go to Elizabeth, but Elizabeth's not there. But what he said to Sandra was that, you know, he kind of waited until she was out of town. So he's grasping, and he needs help. And he doesn't really have anyone from whom to get help, so why not Est?
Is there ever a time Est could do anything for a robot?
We have software upgrades and do not need self-help seminars.
Don't need self-help. Well, this is the advanced sex class version of Est, Jamie. Now that, I think I said it the first time we started talking, that's just clickbait, right, for getting people to the class? Ooh, advanced sex. I'm going to that one. That room was full.
Yeah, well, those S classes are always full.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like what they were saying inside the actual episode, that, you know, it's about sex on the surface, but underneath it's, you know, it's about you.
Yeah, so it's all connected, huh?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go back to West Berlin. The Jennings girls aren't going to meet Mamochka.
Yep.
Nadenka and Mamochka. Nadenka acts like a little girl again, and Paige sees her mother acting like a daughter. Pretty cool. Pretty cool scene. Very touching.
Yeah, I loved that scene so much. And I was watching it, and I didn't realize until the scene was over that there were tears rolling down my face. It was really, really beautiful and really moving, and some of the absolute best acting that we've seen out of Keri Russell. Keri Russell is a beautiful actress. She's a very strong, good actress with a lot of range. But this character that she portrays is so uptight that we don't get to see a lot of emotion in Elizabeth. And this was so great to see that. And I'd be curious. I haven't listened to the Insider podcast, so I don't know if they spoke to Keri Russell about this episode. But I would love to see her talk about her experience of playing Elizabeth in this episode, because there was so much range there. It had to be really enjoyable for her as an actor. And she just did such a beautiful job. It was so moving. It's emotional to me even just now, just thinking about it now, how beautiful that scene was.
Any tears from you, Robot, when you saw that?
My room did get a little dusty while I watched that scene.
All right. Settle down. We don't need a Tin Woodsman happening here. You're rusting up. But Grandma knows Paige.
Yeah.
And we commented on this, that she doesn't look so old, but she looks really, really gray and sick. She doesn't look very healthy at all.
Right.
And the basic question of all time, all this time gone, and what can we do? It's a basic question of men, women, and probably robots.
Yeah, mankind. Mm.
What can we do?
Yeah, it's a really existential question, and it heightened the emotion of that scene.
Our little comedy relief, Zin's entourage, gets picked up in their golf cart in the next scene. They all looked as amazed as Zenaida did, although she kind of had the look on her face like, okay, here it is, finally, they're on to me.
Right. I loved it so much. I loved it so much because the veil was gone. That lady, her name is Svetlana Afremova, right? She did such a great job. I mean, she's been great all season. But I really loved her in this scene because you saw the veil drop. Like she was just like, okay, the gig's up, you know, I'm done for, and I know it.
Did you recognize that golf cart robot? Are there like any cousins to you that are golf carts?
Golf carts are dumb. It takes much more intelligence to deliver mail than to chase a little ball in the grass.
You know, this robot is really smart. You can't argue with anything he says. He's so logical.
Yeah, well, that's what robots are built to be.
I guess so. Very nature. All right, Elizabeth later watches her mother's car drive away. Very sad. Very last time, you know, last time. This is the last visit. A pretty strong life marker for Elizabeth. And then Paige prays Jamie, and Elizabeth kind of observes her, doesn't really participate, kind of just watches her.
Yeah. Again, it was a very moving scene. And, you know, seeing Elizabeth just sit there and be with Paige while Paige did what she could, the only thing she knew to do, was really beautiful.
All right, well, let's try to make it through this without rusting people up. Get another commercial break, and we come back to Gad whining some more, just railing against Stan. I recommend the Deputy Attorney General fire you. Go wait at your desk.
You're punished.
gives him a little smug update on Zin. There's no Nina trade either. We've got a better guy we need.
Ah, didn't see that one coming.
I didn't either. So all this was like for naught.
Yeah. God, Stan. Now what is he going to do?
We'll find out. We have to wait a little while, but we'll find out.
Yep.
All right, go back to the hotel in West Berlin. Paige asks her mother, you would never leave me like that, would you?
And I was thinking, yes, she would.
Yeah, but she says never. Is that a lie?
No, she didn't say never. She said that wouldn't happen. Like, kind of like, oh, that's just not even, you know, something you should be thinking about. But she chose her words carefully. She didn't really answer the question.
Well, I was going to ask you, Jamie, do you think Elizabeth is changing her perspective on what Paige's role should be in all this?
No, I don't.
So she was just being the good spy, giving the medium space answer.
Yeah.
She can wiggle out of it later.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to Jean's house. Now, there's a bunch of robot toys in Jean's house, Robot. You must have loved this scene. But he goes there and he waits for Jean. And while he's waiting, he plays with some of those robots. What did you have a take on this setting with all the toys, Robot, in Jean's apartment?
It was a fun day on set.
Oh, nice.
I bet. And Jean notices when he comes home, he doesn't see Philip right away, but he notices something amiss, and it's the robot being out of place, right?
I think so.
Something's wrong. He sees something out of place, and I think it's the little toy robot on his computer was either missing or not where it should have been.
Maybe. But it was cool the way that they did this. This was such a great callback, actually, to the pilot episode. This the way that it was shot. This scene in the pilot, where Philip goes and gives that child molester dude his comeuppance. Do you remember that?
Yes.
In the podcast, you and I actually talked about the way this scene was shot, the scene where Philip goes to this guy's house and he's doing the barbecue, the saddest barbecue in the history of barbecues. Remember that?
The hot dogs, yeah.
The hot dogs. So the dude is at the grill, right? And he's like messing with the hot dogs and the buns. And Philip comes up and you see Philip at the very side of this dude's house, like at that angle. It's like a 45-degree angle to the dude, right? Behind him. And then the camera... I'm sorry, Verbot, go ahead.
Tusk.
Oh, yeah, Tusk. Yes, you're right. And then the camera subtly moves, and you look again at the character, and you see that where Philip was behind him at that 45-degree angle, he's not there anymore. He's disappeared somehow in just that moment of the character moving its body, of the main focus in the scene, the character that's about to be attacked, the child molester dude. Philip's gone. Like, and you don't know where he went. He disappeared in a split second. And then you're looking around like, where is he? And then you realize he's standing right in front of that guy, and the guy doesn't even see him. And then he attacks him, you know, and does the whole thing and karates him down and, you know, the whole thing, you know, gives him the warning, stabs him with the barbecue fork, and he's done.
And then eats a hot dog.
And then he eats a hot dog. And in this scene, it's the same move. It was fascinating. I loved it because when the guy's got the key going, right? Philip's like leaning back on the sofa. He's just chilling. And you're like, oh, wait, you better run. And then all of a sudden, you know, the way the camera angle changes, you're like, where'd he go? Gene walks in and he's got his, like, I don't know, his book bag or his bag or whatever. And he's putting it on the table and picking up the robot or whatever he's doing. And you see Philip at that 45-degree angle, just like it was in the pilot with the barbecue dude. And then Gene bends over, he's in the front of the frame, and when he stands back up, you see Philip is not where he was, and you're like, where is he? And then all of a sudden, he's on him. And I loved it, because it was a great callback to that scene.
Yeah, Philip can be very Jaqen H'ghar in his movements.
He is stealthy. That dude is—he's really—and I love that we got to see that side of him, because this season has been a tough one. for Philip, and I like that we got to see him do something really, really cool.
We don't see completely what he does to Jean yet. We see him planting the receiver for the little bug, and we see him work on the computer. The Commodore 64, Jamie, God, 64K of RAM memory in that baby.
Right? I was like, dude, and it said Commodore 64 on there. It was awesome. But did you see what he wrote?
64K of RAM? We sent men to the moon on computers with 64K of memory. I wish I had that much memory. If I did, I could store the whole script in memory before my scenes.
So you don't even have 64K of memory?
Nope.
Man, they got to up that budget of the Americans.
That's probably
they sure
how...
do.
That's probably how the robots were built back then. They didn't need much memory.
All right, listeners, let's all chip in for some RAM for FBI mail robot. What do you say? All right, we see what happens to Gene. He's hanging behind Philip as Philip types in on the computer. I had to do it. I'm sorry. So this is relatively genius, this putting Gene in the place of the one planting the bug.
Right. And I loved it so much. And I actually didn't pick it up until the second time I watched through. But that message that Philip typed and the way that the camera lingered on his face and the expression on his face when he was typing that message, it was Philip's message too. You know, he wasn't just typing that. You know, it said, "I had no choice. I'm sorry." And I think that that really says it all for Philip. You know, that's how he's feeling.
Yeah, that's a great take on it. It has kind of a double meaning.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
All right, we'll go back to the FBI office, and the Deputy Attorney General is going to let Stan off the hook. He asks him to meet in the vault, and he's sympathetic to Stan. There's a future for him still. The bureaucrats can do what they need to run on red tape, but we're going to make shit happen. There's no investigation. The only thing that matters is what you're going to do in the future, and I won't let people stand in your way.
Yeah, I was so pleased with that. I was really happy about that because that makes the way for Stan to have like a bigger role. And you know, I love Noah Emmerich, so I'm just dancing in my living room about that at this point. So we'll see what happens, and then also, you know, we get Costa Ronan. We'll get to see a bit more of him. He plays Oleg, and I like Oleg too. So I think season 4 is going to be really interesting.
It's interesting that you're fans of Stan and Oleg, Jamie.
Yeah, I know.
It's like the White Bishop and the Black Bishop. They're the equals, but spy versus spy. You like the white and the black one.
I do, but I have to tell you, I mean, like, if I ever had to choose, you know where I'd choose, right?
Gad?
Oh, my God.
Well, they're in this vault of silence. Now, I'm curious, Robot, can you hear what's going on in that vault in the FBI office?
Male robots are not allowed anywhere near the vault.
Okay.
Yeah, I would imagine that because that's, I mean, I wonder if that's really true because you and I sort of speculated about that, Mike, a couple of episodes back. And I would be interested to know because really, honestly, I mean, that it's a danger, clearly. I mean, the FBI robot is planted with a recording device right now.
Yeah.
You know?
So Stan has
many rooms that I cannot get into.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's on a track, right? Those things run on a track?
They actually don't run on a physical track. Those, like, I don't know how FBI robot is situated, but the robot that I used to work with was not on a track. It was like it was like radio controlled or something because it was like just rolled along the carpet.
I am only programmed to go on a certain route.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And that's right. That's exactly right.
So we'll finish off this scene. The Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, tells Stan also that he can't do anything about Nina. So that's kind of Nina's going to have to figure this out on her own, but she may be capable. of that. And then Adderholt and Gad give Stan this evil stare down, like, oh, you got away with it this one time, but it looked great. It looked like Stan got what he really deserved. He's not a bad guy. He deserves to be free of this bitchiness from Gad and Adderholt, I think.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think Adderholt was in the dark. I think he was just like, looking at Stan like, what the heck's going on, dude?
He was accusing him, though, last episode or two ago.
Yeah, he got put in his place, too.
Back at Est, some guy's trusting his gut and talking. So his body does. So here's another body and mind analogy. His body belongs to him. The Est trainer reminds him, say what's in your gut. That's your body. It belongs to you. Versus Nina wondering if her body belongs to her, and Philip has to trade his body, all this stuff. So in Est, I guess the body is as important as your mind, and it tells you things like the sex training, your sexual desire helps you figure out things in your mental thinking. Okay. It talks to you. Your body talks to you.
Yeah.
Sandra and Philip talk after the meeting, and she asks Philip if he's up for a share-it-all session between him and her. But with the caveat, don't tell Stan anything about this.
Right.
And Philip says, I don't know if I can. And he obviously can't tell her all everything about him because he's got so many of these secrets. But Sandra asked some really cool question. Has anybody ever really known you?
Yeah. 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 And she had an interesting answer to that question, because I think that's true. You know, even if you're not a person who has to lie every day of your life, you know, I think that sometimes we can all be enigmas. And it's a good question. I think it's a good question for anyone.
Robot, how about you? Do you have friends? Who do you talk to when you need to talk?
I talk with the other robots on the robot internet.
Okay, this guy's a little network of friends.
Interesting.
All right, we go back to Russia. The Baklanov note is a story about Jacob. I guess it seems like he's writing these letters to Jacob, but it's really a story about Jacob because there's no way he can ever deliver it to Jacob, his son.
Mm-hmm.
And he hides it when Nina comes by, even though Nina knows where these are hidden, and he knows she knows, right?
Right.
Still, he knows she's going to come in, and he hides it anyway. She goes right to that corner of the mattress and kind of caresses the corner of the mattress. That was interesting. And then here's some more of the body belonging to you or you needing to use it for others. And Nina says, you know why I'm here. I'm tired of trading my body to catch up with the time I need to trade. And Baklanov gives her some cool advice to turn down what they offer you. Deny what your body craves, and your body will lose the craving, right?
Right.
Now, I tried to figure out if that was a double meaning. Does your body lose the craving, or do the people lose the power to ask you to do things by offering those cravings?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think what he was basically saying is it's hard to turn it down at first. You get used to it, but you really should get used to it because then they don't have power over you.
Right. Do you have any cravings, Robot? Any special things you want to share with us?
All I need is a fresh charge, a fast internet connection, and a clear path to drive my route.
Hmm.
It's almost like Spicoli, right? In Fast Times at Ridgemont High. All he needs is a cool buzz, some stones. Do you guys ever see that movie?
Exactly. I have Fast Times at the FBI.
He needs one other thing. He needs three things. I can't remember what Spicoli's are. Fast, cool buzz, fast ride, and some cool tunes, maybe. Anyway, we'll go back to Elizabeth and Paige. Paige, they're coming home now. They're at the airport getting ready to go back home to their American home. Paige says, I just can't lie. I can't do this, man. I can't lie my whole life. Can't lie to Henry. And Elizabeth says everyone lies.
It's
diametrically opposite of what Sandra and Philip were talking about, where we need to be honest and share everything. She's saying everyone lies.
And you know what? And I'm going to call us geniuses on this. Because at the end of second season or the beginning of third season, you and I had a conversation on this very podcast about Paige and it being such a counterintuitive suggestion or observation about parenting that a parent would want for their child to be in a life where they had to live a lie. You and I actually talked about that. And it was so gratifying to hear Paige actually say that because that was in our minds, you know, back then. And to hear her say, "I don't think I can live a lie," was such a great answer to our musings that we had right here.
Yeah, and it's if Paige can't live a lie, Jamie, what are they going to do with her?
That is it. That is the $64 million question.
Wow, went up. Used to be 64,000.
Okay.
Inflation. So Philip comes home. Next scene, Philip comes home and he listens to a message from Stan. He's the only one in the house. Listens to this message. Stan has left. Henry's over at Stan's house playing games. Interesting analogy here. Henry and Stan are playing games because everyone in this episode is just playing different games, just all kinds of games.
Mm-hmm.
Even Philip and Elizabeth, I think. But Philip goes up and listens to the BBC radio as he's wont to do. And if, hears that they're attempting to withdraw 105,000 Russian troops from Afghanistan while in the meantime, Paige and Elizabeth return home. And he goes down and gives them an enthusiastic welcome. But Paige is tired and goes to her room. She doesn't want any part of talking or food or anything. She's just so troubled. She needs to get off on her own.
Yeah.
And Philip and Elizabeth go off on their own. They talk about Elizabeth's mother and Paige. And Elizabeth tells us that she thinks it worked, this trip with Paige. She thinks it worked. Jamie, at this point, did you think it had worked?
No, because Paige actually said, "I don't think I can do this." And when she came home, she was sullen. I mean, I think that's just an example of terrible parenting because Elizabeth didn't pick up on what Paige was really feeling.
Yeah, I guess that's a silly question based on what we just talked. Did you think it was going to work, I guess, is better before they went? Did you think it was going to work? Could we kind of talk about that, too?
Well, I didn't expect Paige to do what she did. And I thought that she would just continue to feel depressed maybe and cry or, I don't know, something. Go confront her parents. I don't know, but I didn't expect for her to do what she did.
Yeah. What about you, Robot? Do you have a take on that?
I think it has made Paige even more confused about her parents.
Hey, Robot, do you watch this show, or do you get all this insight from being on the set?
Mike, that was a good question.
I'm curious.
Of course I watch the show. I never read the full script and only read my pages, but I do watch the whole show.
That's right, he's the diva. Remember that. Doesn't need to know other people's lines. He just reads his own, goes back to his trailer.
That's right.
All right, we're going to finish this off. There's a bunch of quick cuts, so I'll just take it all through it, and then we can talk about them. So these cuts are really quick jump cuts. Paige crying in her room. Philip talks to Elizabeth. "I took care of the Martha thing. She'll come to me and tell me when she needs to know what she needs to know, when she needs to know." Elizabeth says, "Don't rely on that. You go to her first to tell her because you may not be seeing things clearly." That's pretty similar to what Gabriel had said. Take control. Don't wait. All right, Jamie, you have a comment on that? Because that's pretty profound. Don't wait for her. Don't trust her. You go to her first.
Yeah. I don't know. What I expected to happen here with Martha, it's not what happened. And so, you know, oddly, it kind of gave me a weird push, kind of an impetus in a different direction. You know, you've been the one calling for her for her disposal all season, but now I'm actually afraid. Like, I'm actually worried because I don't know how she's taken this. The only thing that we know is that she's processing it. She's certainly capable of lying. Where do her loyalties lie now that she really knows who Philip is? I'm at a loss.
You have to be either afraid for Martha or afraid for the Jennings, because she's not strong enough to manage this. She's going to talk to somebody and get herself off the hook and get them in trouble, or they're going to silence her.
Yeah, and so what's going to happen? I don't know.
So Paige is in her room struggling with her decision. She's really tortured here. She takes the phone and dials it. They jump right back to Philip and Elizabeth. Now they have the TV on in the background, and they're talking about Gene and the games in his room, how he was almost like a little child. And Philip starts to talk about how hard it was at Gene's apartment. Back to Paige telling Pastor Tim that she's hurting. Back to Philip, feels like he knows. He needs to know that what he's doing is helps, and you know, just what if it's working. Paige telling Tim praying doesn't help, please help me. Philip tries to tell Elizabeth, I feel like, and then she interrupts him because Reagan's on TV. That was hard to watch, Elizabeth interrupt Philip while he was trying to tell her such a poignant message.
Yeah, and here he is, you know, really broken. He's really broken. You know, and he's really trying to feel his way through this. He's lost. And, you know, and you can't really... I mean, Elizabeth was being compassionate. She was listening to him, you know, but then, you know, Russia...
Reagan. Yeah, distracted by Reagan.
She went to that, and that, of course, was, you know, a huge moment when Reagan did that. And it was so suspenseful, the way that it was cut and edited. I loved the way that scene was put together. It was beautiful. It was really well done. And so suspenseful. And then we get Paige doing this unbelievable thing. I was shocked, and I was kind of angry about it. I couldn't believe she did that. It's just like burning everything to the ground. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was awesome how they mixed the jump cuts were really almost one line into the other.
Yeah.
Paige saying they're liars, they're trying to make me one. Reagan, again, then a quick cut to Stan and Henry playing the game. Paige saying they're not who they say they are, they're not Americans. Reagan says evil empire. Paige says you can't tell anyone they're Russians.
Yeah.
And then Reagan's voice over all of these scenes saying they are the focus of evil in the modern world, and it ends. The season ends.
Yeah. It was quite an ender.
Don't you think it was funny, just this whole way this all stuff got flipped around? Like, Gene, who looked like a pretty happy guy, just running the computers, playing with his robots, he gets stuck with a fake suicide, while all these people who probably have considered doing real suicide are just still up and running around. Like, Paige probably considered suicide. Martha and Nina, I mean, they're still alive, and this poor guy, Gene, gets offed.
Yeah, he was the sacrificial lamb.
Do you guys have any predictions for season 4?
Oh, God, predictions. Wow. I don't know. I can tell. Okay, before we get into predictions, let's talk about what we want to see answered. I am just dying here. Like, I gotta know what's happening with Martha. I'm so mad at these guys because they didn't give us anything. I mean, nothing. Not one scene.
She's at her parents' house.
I cannot believe that we left Martha after 312 and did not see her in the finale. I am glad that she did not die, but it will be interesting to see where she is next season.
Yeah, I agree.
Are you sure you don't know where Martha is, robot?
I wish I knew.
Okay. Jamie, you buying it?
I don't know, because FBI mail robot's got a theme for Martha, and Martha's not around anywhere. I don't know.
Anybody on the death list? As far as predictions, who's going to die in season 4?
Maurice.
Maurice, yes.
I wanted to see his dead body, but it was such a serious episode, such a heavy episode. I could see why they didn't include him, but really they have to let us discover his body next season. Come on.
How about Paige? Yes or no?
What, dead?
Yeah.
Oh no. No, no, no. Definitely not.
How about Nina?
That's another question. Nina, I think, is destined to die, but I don't know if it's going to be in season 4. I think that she has some kick left in her. I think that there's some stuff between her and Stan that needs to be worked out. I think she may end up reconnecting to Oleg, you know, or maybe to Stan. I don't know. So, but I think Nina's not dead yet.
How about you, Robot? First, Paige, yes or no to dying in season 4, and then Nina.
No and no.
Okay. Hey, Robot, are you on the show next season? Can you tell us about your contract?
I hope so.
Sounds like he's being ambiguous.
My agent is not very good.
What do you do in your downtime when you're not acting?
Audition.
Audition and calculate, compute. All right, you guys, thanks for hanging in there. We finally got this one together. We appreciate all the listeners bearing with us while we got our technical difficulties resolved. This is The Americans, the end of season 3. Jamie, it's been awesome.
It's been awesome, Mike.
We'll find
thanks.
Some new podcasts. There's a lot to do in the interim. And Robot, you've been awesome too. Thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah,
I am Appleton, Zadran.
All right, you guys. This has been great. Thanks to you and all the listeners, and we'll see you next season on The Americans.
See you next season.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.